Indeed, we're marching to Zion. Keep on marching. Don't quit. It's so good to be with you once again. I thank a lot of the church here. I appreciate each one of you. Thank you for all the work that you do. And I ask you to keep it up. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Brad, your good family, for all the work that you do. Keep up the good work. It's always an honor for me to stand in the pulpit to preach the word. And I ask you to open the Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and in verse 1. Thank you for the good scripture reading. Like all books of the Bible, Deuteronomy is an excellent book. So many good lessons to be learned from the book of Deuteronomy. The name Deuteronomy means second law or the law rehearsed. It's not a second law given in addition to the one given at Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus chapter 20. Rather, it's the same law rehearsed again that is found in the book. A new generation had risen throughout the wandering in the wilderness. Thus, it was needed that the law given at Mount Sinai be rehearsed, be told again to the people. No doubt any who were remaining needed to hear it again. And in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses and his work is really coming to an end. His life ends at the close of the book of Deuteronomy. And you might think of the book as his final appeal to the children of Israel. The children of Israel will soon be entering the promised land of Canaan, and he is giving them many laws from God, many warnings that they were to keep and heed when they come into the land of Canaan. And you can't appreciate the book of Deuteronomy without realizing that it is a book of obedience, as obedience is a big theme in the book and often emphasized, like in Deuteronomy 5 and in verse 1. Thus, this afternoon, I want to talk to you about obedience in four words from Deuteronomy 5 and in verse 1. Perhaps you'd like to highlight the words that were just read. When Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel," highlight the word "hear." "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them." Highlight "learn." "Learn them and keep." Highlight the word "keep." "And do them." That's obedience in four words. Hear, learn, keep, and do. If you don't remember anything else, remember those four words. Hear, learn, keep, and do. Beginning with this, hear. We must hear the word of God. He said, "Hear the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day." Those are the statutes and judgments of the Lord. And he said, first of all, "Hear, O Israel." We can't be obedient without first hearing the statutes and judgments of the Lord. The book, as a book of obedience, often emphasizes that of hearing, like in chapter 4 and in verse 10. He had just given them the warning, "Take heed to thyself," in verse 9, "and keep thy soul diligently, and teach thy sons," in the latter part. Why? "Lest you forget," lest they depart. One of the great warnings given in the book of Deuteronomy. Don't forget. And then in verse 10, "Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb," that's Mount Sinai, "when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children." We can't learn to fear God without first hearing his words. Hear. In chapter 6 and in verse 3, likewise, "Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." You can't observe to do it without first hearing. We're emphasizing hearing. Chapter 12 and in verse 28 of the book of Deuteronomy. It is written, "Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee." Hear. Then in chapter 31, the people were to have a reading of the law. A specified time was given. And in chapter 31, beginning of verse 12, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates." Why do that? Why gather the people together? "That they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law." Then verse 13, "That their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. The people were to gather together to hear the law, to hear the words of God. Hearing is often emphasized. And in the book, we see the consequences that came to the people when they didn't hear. They chose not to hear God, like in chapter 1 and in verse 43 beginning. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear. Notice they wouldn't hear. But instead, they rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went up presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites which dwell in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And ye returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. Great consequences, not hearing God. They didn't hear him. They rebelled against him. Thus, ultimately, the Lord would not hear them. Then in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, beginning in verse 17, but if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Great consequences to not hearing. The book emphasizes hearing. You can't be obedient without first hearing. And this is put so well when you think of the prophecy given in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Turn there with me. Notice this. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And beginning in verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. The prophecy is given that the Lord would raise up a prophet from the midst of thee like unto me, Moses said. Verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Prophet will be risen up, like Moses, and he is to be heard. In the book of Acts, in chapter 3, this prophecy is applied to Christ by Peter in one of his sermons. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye, notice, hear. Him shall ye hear, and all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. This is applied to Christ, as Peter is preaching about Jesus, the Christ. He is that prophet that was risen up, and God says, him shall ye hear in all things. Say we decide not to hear. We're not going to hear the Lord. Every soul which will not hear that prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be destroyed from among the people. Are you hearing the Lord? We must hear. Matthew 17 and verse 5, God the Father said concerning Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. We can't be obedient without first hearing. How is our hearing? How is it? Obedience to the gospel. Obedience to the word of God requires hearing. We see this in so many places, like in the book of Acts chapter 2, when the first recorded gospel sermon was preached by Peter. And you remember, after he had finished speaking, verse 37 says, now when they heard this, at the beginning he said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Then in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then they that gladly received his word, verse 41, were baptized. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How did that happen? How is that conversion? How did that take place? How were these people added to the church among the saved? Because when they heard this. You can't be obedient to the gospel without first hearing. And that's emphasized in the book of Deuteronomy as a book of obedience. And that's our first word. Obedience in four words. Hear. Next, learn. Moses said that ye may learn them. Likewise, the book often emphasizes that of learning. Like in chapter 4 and in verse 10, I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth. First hearing, without that you can't learn. But once you hear, there's something else you must do, and that is learning. Like in this text, learn to fear the Lord. In chapter 14, and in verse 23, thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks. Notice that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. A recurring theme throughout the book. Learn. Learn to fear the Lord thy God. And notice that important word at the end. Always. Not part of the time, not sometimes, not just once or twice. Always. That's something we need to learn to do. Fear the Lord God always. Many important words in the Bible. That's one of them. Always. How are we doing with that? Chapter 17 and in verse 19. And it shall be with him, that's the king, when the time would come that Israel would raise a king upon them, he was to have a copy of the law, and he was to read therein. Verse 19, it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Why? Why read therein all the days of his life? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. So important that we read in the law of God all the days of our life, that we may learn to fear the Lord God. We must learn. And all the same, the New Testament often emphasizes that of learning, like in the book of Matthew in chapter 11. If you notice verse 29, the Lord speaking, take my yoke upon you, and he said, learn of me. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The Lord said, learn of me. You think we need to learn? The Lord said we do. And that takes hearing. John chapter 6. In verse 45. Again, the Lord said, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. You can't come unto the Lord. You can't come unto God unless you've been taught of God. And that requires hearing and learning of him. And that takes place through his word. You've got to learn. Then in Romans chapter 15. In verse 4. The Apostle Paul penned, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That's why it's so important that we study the Old Testament, because it is written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Emphasizing learning. Then in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Got to learn. And once we do that, do. Hear, learn. Part of obedience. What's obedience? Here's obedience in four words. First two are hear, learn. Next one, keep. Keeping is so important. Oftentimes, perhaps, keeping is where a lot of people go wrong. A lot of people have heard and learned, but they aren't keeping. Thus, they aren't doing. It takes all these, by the way. Once you've heard, once you've learned, you've got to keep. Deuteronomy 5, verse 1, that you may learn them and keep. I like the word keep. Again, the Bible, and specifically in the book of Deuteronomy, emphasizes keeping. Like in chapter 4 and in verse 2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish out from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Keeping the commandments of God involves and requires that we do not add to it, that we do not take away from it. We add to it, we take away from it. We're no longer keeping the commandments of the Lord like we ought to. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. That ye may keep the commandments of the Lord. We've got to keep them. Chapter 5, and in verse 10, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Did you know that God's mercy is conditional? He offers it to everyone, but not everyone receives it. You know why? because it's conditional. One of those conditions is showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Suppose I don't love God and I don't keep His commandments. Well, I'm not going to enter in the gates to the city. I'm not going to receive the crown of life. Revelation 22, verse 14. Keep the commandments of God. Likewise, chapter 10 and then verse 13. Verse 12, now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Did you know the Lord requires something of His people? You better believe it. To fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and the statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. God's commandments are put in place for our good. Thus we need to keep them. And God requires that of His people. To keep means to observe, to give heed, to retain, to treasure up in memory. If we don't keep, it means we're not observing. We're not giving heed to it. We're not retaining it. We're not treasuring it up in memory. The psalmist was a good example of keeping. In Psalm 119, like in verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. Here's another important word, diligently. That means earnestly, great earnestness, great effort. Keep His precepts, God's, diligently. He says in verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Is that our desire? Is that our appeal? Oh, that my ways, oh, that your ways were directed to keep the statutes of God. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respected all thy commandments. He pins. In verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Don't put it off. Make haste and delay not to keep the commandments of God. Good example. In verse 101 of Psalm 119, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Keeping the word of God involves us to refrain our feet from every evil way. Are we refraining our feet from every evil way? Good example. Keeping is contrasted with forsaking in the book of Proverbs, like in chapter 6 and in verse 20. Helps us appreciate and understand the idea of keeping, like in chapter 6 and verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Notice the contrast from keeping and forsaking. To keep is not to forsake. To forsake is not to keep. Opposites. Again in chapter 28 and in verse 4, the wise man Solomon, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Two separate people, two groups of people. There's always been one that forsakes the law, one that keeps it. They're opposites. Which one are we, forsakers or keepers? We're to be keepers. Obedience demands it. And that's where a lot of people go wrong. They forsake it. They don't take heed. How many times, perhaps, there are individuals who hear the Word of God, they hear His commandments, they hear God's will, they learn it, they've learned what they need to do, they learn what God's will is and what He requires of them, but they cast it off. It goes in one ear, not the other. It never sinks in. It never takes hold. It's never retained. Thus, obedience never occurs because it requires us to hear, learn, and then keep. Keep. That's our whole duty as man. Remember, book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's what it comes down to. What are we here for? What's really important? This is it. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Are we fulfilling our duty? Are we? When it comes time, God will bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Will we have feared God and kept His commandments? Will we have? That's our duty. keep. That takes an honest and good heart. The book of Luke, chapter 8 and verse 15, the parable of the sower. Different hearts today in people, different soils that the seed can be planted in. What's our heart? Is it the honest and good heart, having heard the word, keeps it and brings forth fruit with patience? We don't keep it, we're not going to bring forth any fruit with patience. We're required to bring forth fruit. John chapter 8, in verse 51, the Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." You know, there's a sense in which we could never see death. The Lord says, the person that shall never see death is the one who keeps his saying. So important that we're keepers and not forsakers. Chapter 14 of the book of John, verse 15, the Lord said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." A lot of people say, "Oh, I love the Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. I love Jesus." But they don't keep his commandments. You know what the truth is? They do not love Jesus. Because if you love me, the Lord said, keep my commandments. Verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him." Keep the commandments. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verses 1 and 2, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Notice, they've heard and they've received. They've heard and learned. "By which also ye are saved." If, big, important word, another one in the Bible, the word if. Saved if. That shows salvation is conditional. There's something we must do. What is it? "If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Not enough to have heard, not enough to have learned, not enough to even believe. He says in verse 2, "Ye have believed in vain." But you must keep in memory the gospel that you have heard, learned, and believed. That involves keeping it in memory. Do we keep that in our memory, or is it cast off, never taking root in our heart, thus not bringing forth any fruit? Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy." Doesn't stop there. He says, "And keep those things which are written therein." Amen. And then finally, we're talking about obedience in four words. We've got three of them: hear, learn, keep. Takes more than that as well. Final one: do. Do. Hear, O Israel, learn them, keep, and do them. Do is such an important word. So it shows that there is something we must do. Some people think there's nothing we got to do in order to be saved. They don't have to do anything. Well, evidently there is. In order for the children of Israel to be saved, to enter the promised land, to have God on their side, there was something they had to do. That was do the statutes and judgments, the laws of God. And there's something we must do today. That word "do" occurs 99 times alone in the book of Deuteronomy. 99 times. As a book of obedience, no wonder it emphasizes doing, because obedience requires doing. Someone says, "I'm obedient," but they're not doing anything. No, you're not obedient. "I've heard and I've learned." Are you keeping and doing? It takes it all. Do them. Deuteronomy chapter 4, in verse 1, "Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them." Notice, "that ye may live." Their living, their life, required their doing. And do you know our life today spiritually requires our doing? You want to live spiritually? You've got to do. You've got to do. Drop down to verses 5 and 6, Deuteronomy chapter 4. "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep, therefore, and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great? Verse 7. We have an answer here of what wisdom and understanding is. You say, so-and-so is really wise. That's wisdom. This is wisdom. Maybe, maybe not. I'll tell you what is wisdom. This is wisdom. That you keep the commandments of God and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding. And the nations would say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Why? Because they keep and do the commandments of God. That's wisdom. Are we a wise and understanding people? You can answer that. Are you keeping and doing the commandments of God? That's what God's word says. Chapter 5 and in verse 32. You shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, that it may be well with you, that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. What does it mean to do the commandments of God? First, you must observe. Observe to do. Have we done that? That involves not turning aside to the right hand or to the left. Walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you. You take the commandments of God. You hear them through your reading or through preaching. You hear them. You learn them. You learn God's commandments. You learn His will. You keep them. You don't cast them off. They take root in your heart. You keep them in memory. And then you don't turn aside from it to the right or to the left. You walk in those ways. You live in those ways. You conduct yourself in those ways. Doing. Obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and in verse 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. Doing the commandments of God requires us to not add to it or diminish from it. Take it as it is, and whatsoever God commands, whatsoever His word says, no matter what it is, observe to do it. That's obedience. Once more, Deuteronomy chapter 30, in verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. In order to do it, we need the word very nigh. In our mouth and in our heart. That requires hearing. That requires learning. That requires keeping them. Once that takes place, that thou mayest do it. How's our doing? May this be our attitude. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and in verse 27. Let's each examine ourselves and figure out what our attitude is. Deuteronomy 5 verse 27. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. And speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. Is that our attitude? Is it? Speak unto me all that the Lord our God shall speak, shall say. And I will hear it and do it. What a great example, what a great attitude. And in the New Testament, doing is often emphasized. It's a must. There's something we must do. Matthew 7, verse 21, the Lord said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Remember how that goes? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You want to enter heaven? It takes more than just saying, Lord, Lord. You must do the will of God the Father. In the book of John, chapter 2, remember, at a marriage, the mother of Jesus said to the servants concerning Christ, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I have those words highlighted in my Bible. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. May that be my attitude and your attitude when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet God has risen up, who we are to hear. Whatsoever he saith unto you, to me, do it. Takes more than just hearing. Remember in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Another definition of a doer. What does it mean to do? It means to continue therein. You look into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God. Look into it. You hear it. You learn it. Keep it. And continue therein. Don't be a forgetful hearer. That's the opposite of keeping, by the way, a forgetful hearer. One who hears and learns, but forget it. They're not keeping. Keep it. Don't be a forgetful hearer. Continue in it. Be a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Revelation 22 and in verse 14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." You want to have right to the tree of life? You want to enter in? Do his commandments. Hopefully that's simple and easy to understand. Obedience in four words. What does it mean to be obedient? Hear, learn, keep, and do the commandments of God. Obedience is a must. The Lord, it's written concerning the Lord, Hebrews 5, verse 9, "He is the author of eternal salvation." You want eternal salvation? I do. "He's the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." We must obey the Lord if we want to be saved eternally. That means we must hear the Lord, learn of him, keep and do all that the Lord says. Having heard this afternoon and learned, will you keep and do? Will you? Will I? Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. Excellent question was asked. What must I do to be saved? Have you asked that question? What must I do to be saved? The Bible gives the answer. You must hear the word, Romans 10, verse 17. You must believe it, Mark 16, 16. You must repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3, Acts 17, 30. You must confess your faith in Jesus Christ. The eunuch did, Acts chapter 8, in verse 37. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Will you make that great confession? Will you be baptized? You must be baptized. That's how you get into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Rise up to walk in newness of life, having your sins washed away, and live for the Lord who died for you. Be faithful unto death, Revelation 2, verse 10. Maybe you've done that. You're a Christian. There's sin in your life. You haven't been keeping and doing like you ought to be. You've transgressed the law of God. You've forgotten it. You've turned aside to the right or to the left. You're no longer continuing therein. Your soul is in danger of going to hell, and you need to make that right before it's too late by repenting of your sin, praying to God for forgiveness, like Simon was told to do in Acts 8, and confess your sin, 1 John 1, and in verse 9. The Lord invites you to come to him. Hear, learn, keep, and do. Right now, as together we stand and sing, won't you come?